Hey there, everybody, and welcome back to The Moment. I'm your host with the absolute most, Cleo Berry. And this is our election episode. I know, you don't want to talk about politics, neither do I. So before I start, I just want to make sure that everyone who can votes. It's one of our most foundational and fundamental rights as an American, so use it. Shout it from the rooftop if you have to, but make sure that you're filling in those ballots for your local, your state, and your federal positions, okay? Now, as for me and mine, we're liberals, we're Democrats, we bleed blue. I'm from Red, Arkansas, but, you know, I am a Democrat all the way. And so Kamala Harris, this election cycle, resonated with me. I love her ferociousness. I love how she stands in her power. I love how she represents California on the world stage. I love her message of positivity. Every day I wake up on a brighter side. You know, I look forward to it. And so her message resonated with me. Now, it didn't resonate with a large part of the American population, and that's okay. We can agree to disagree. You won this time, maybe we'll win next time. You know, but as long as you vote, that's all that matters. Now, just like Vice President Kamala Harris, just like Oprah, just like, Halle Berry, our next guest, her job puts her in front of the world stage. You might have seen her on Born Again Virgin on BET. You might have seen her on Unreal on Hulu. And recently, you might have seen her on Monarch opposite Susan Sarandon on Fox. Everyone, please welcome one of my good friends, one of the most talented actresses that I know, Megan Holter.
This is the moment, moment. Let's be clear. This is your moment, moment. Why you're here. This is the moment, moment. Let's be clear. This is your moment, moment. Why you're here. The moment. Oh, 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 moment.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Moment. I am Cleo Berry, and I am here with an incredible guest, Miss Megan Holter.
Hi, Cleo.
Hey, girl. Thank you for coming on to the show. Now, you said something about Go Dodgers.
I did.
Okay.
I'm representing for LA right now.
Okay.
World Series champions.
Right. You know, go LA.
Casual.
Right.
Yeah.
They beat the World Yankees, Series. The old hometown. You know, but hey, yeah. It is what it is. Go Dodgers.
Go Dodgers.
Okay, now, bring it back to, you know, current. Today, the election just happened last night. Mm-hmm. We're in the thick of it right now. So tell the viewers, you know, what does having the right to vote mean to you?
The right to vote means a lot to me. And for me, what it always brings up every time there's an election is that two times, if I were alive X year or Y year, two times there would have been a chance I could not have voted as a woman and as a black person. So every time I can vote, history just comes up, like, in my soul. I just can't help. Yeah, I really genuinely cannot help. I even, like, I'll be on social media and I'm looking at, you know, the civil rights leaders and photos. And just, it's like what I am able to do now in my lifetime.
Right.
I feel so privileged.
Such a gift.
It's such a gift. I feel, and not only is it a gift, but, like, what people have had to deal with to get that right. You know, the suffrage movement, civil rights movement. Oof.
Preach,
marching,
Come on, somebody.
You know, and so that to me, it's such a powerful thing.
Absolutely.
To vote. I mean, it really, like, I get chills right now. And I rarely do a mail-in ballot because I like to feel like that kind of power and energy in person.
Interesting.
Yeah, and this last election, I went to vote, and a man, he was a vet, and happened to be a black man, so he, at some point in his lifetime, wasn't able to vote. He was older. And he said, "Thank you, young lady, for doing your civil duty." And I said, "Wow, thank you so much. And thank all of you for just working the polls." And I got the chills and I felt pride. It just feels, it's just something about being able to vote that just, I feel proud and I feel...
American
and, like, reminiscent. More than anything, I just feel reminiscent of the people before me.
Right.
That their opinion was not included in this whole situation.
Absolutely.
So it just, it means a lot to me to vote.
When was the moment that you decided your passion in life? What was that moment? When was it? What age was it? In junior high? Was it high school? Was it college? Was it after college when you decided, okay, this actor path is for me. I can do this. I can make a living off of this. People will know me. I will make a resume. It is what it is. I'm coming, world. Hear me roar.
Oh, God. That's so funny because I think as an actor, it goes like this. Just in general. You know, it's like, can I do this? Can I do this? It's just, it's that comes and goes. Right, I just have to be honest. But the moment I remember knowing I wanted to be an actress, I was like 6 years old. Maybe seven. But I'm pretty sure I was six.
Wow.
And there was this play, these plays called Salty in the Songbook.
What?
I don't know if this even exists anymore. Salty in the Songbook. It was like in churches. It was like this.
Oh.
Like they literally, it was like a character and they had plays.
Y'all know about this? Do y'all know about this?
You know, yeah. So I was in a Salty play at my church.
Okay.
And it was, the storyline was a group of kids are going camping. That's all I really remember. We were going camping. And I don't know if I had to audition, but, or as maybe typecast as the person who didn't want to hike.
Not the typecast at six. I can't with the typecasting at six.
I honestly don't know. I can't. I literally think they're like, you look like you'd complain. So we were on this hike going somewhere. And I remember there was this moment, and I'm not kidding. I remember this so viscerally. I couldn't see the audience because there's so many lights on us, right? It was like a pretty decent production. Okay. Like there was like lights and sound and all that. And I remember the line I said, I was like, are we there yet? And I remember saying it just like that. And the audience laughed. And I think that was probably the third or fourth line that gave a clue that I'm this character that like doesn't want to be here.
Right.
And I'll never forget the laugh. And I'm not joking, Cleo. I was like, I'm doing this forever.
Got him.
I didn't even write this. Mrs. So-and-so told me to say it.
Right.
I didn't even write this.
Right.
But somehow you're laughing. And all I had to do was say a line the way I thought that might sound real.
Right.
And you're laughing. And I'll never forget it. That was it. I was like, this is what I'm doing forever. And there's been moments since I was six. You know, like you find different people that you find inspiration from. But that was the moment. That was like, I want to do this forever.
So you went to school here first. And then you went to Chicago for more training in Second City?
Yes. So
I didn't know you went to Second City.
Yeah. Not as long as I wish, but I went to a state school here. I majored in theater. And then I'm kind of jealous of you living the New York life because I wanted to go to New York. I really did. I still want to do that one day.
You've talked about that a few times.
Yeah, one day. Is there wood around?
I don't know. This might be IKEA. I'm not sure if this is wood. Don't knock on this.
I'll lightly. I'll tap on wood. I won't knock on it. I want to live in New York and work out there. But after I was graduating college, I wanted to New York, but something about New York felt too big. Probably why some people feel like LA is too big. I felt like that about New York. So I was like, I'm going to go to Chicago. There was another kid in my acting class that was going to go. There was like some alumni connections that they said they would help us if we went. All these things. I picked Chicago.
Okay.
One of the best decisions I've ever made because I made some of the best friends of my life at the bar that I ended up working, you know, in town. And I'm so glad I did go. But one thing what I love about Chicago is they have a passion for theater.
They do.
Bigger huge school. Passion, yeah. I mean, and so I did a play in literally a church basement. And I remember people at the bar that I worked at, they were like, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, here as an actor, I'm in this play. And they came. Like, they came to my play in church basement. But Rashomon was one of the shows I did. And I studied at Second City, met great people there. I only studied there for about 3 months because I was only in Chicago for almost 2 years. But in Chicago, I got my SAG card. I got an agent out there. I did commercials. So it was a really great training ground before coming to L.A.
That's so interesting because I originally, after high school, was going to Chicago as well and doing Second City. I got into Columbia out there.
Nice.
And I was like, I'm just going to do Chicago. And then last minute, I was like, why am I going to Chicago when I can just go to New York City? And
which
then I decided
point,
on New
though.
York City. And then I came here first and hated it here for a month.
Okay.
And then I went to New York City.
Yeah.
But we still met.
We still met. Because that was meant to be.
So, like, this might be a hard question.
Okay.
But I'm going to throw it out there at you in the house. What's your favorite episode of television that you've acted in?
Okay, I do have the answer for that.
Of course
It
you do.
was an episode of Pitch, and it was the episode Regina King directed.
Love Regina King.
And yeah, I mean, that alone would have been...
Right.
Just being in her presence.
Bucket list check.
Yeah, right. I mean, honestly, one of the best experiences work-wise ever anyway, right, on that show, but also being directed by her.
Yeah.
But that episode in particular... And this is not, I'm not like a, and then I got an award, but I'm just saying why that's my favorite is, it was a moment for my character where she got to show a side of her that wasn't seen in the episodes prior.
Okay.
And I ended up, and Regina King was such a good director, took me through the journey, and like, I was up here, she brought me down here, and different, just the way she directed was amazing. And then I got, Performer of the Week, runner up.
I remember, yes.
And I just remember that feeling. I felt proud of that because of, one, the show. I loved it so much. But also the work that I put into it and the way that Regina directed me.
Why not?
Was just a really great experience. So that's probably my favorite episode I've been in.
What are some of the challenges that you face as a Black woman in this industry?
Even when I was just starting out, all that really was there. It was like the best friend to the white person.
Right.
It was, right, you were the girl that you gave them all the advice so that their lives could go off and they live happily ever after. Right. You know what I mean? While you're still the secretary or whatever. And I think that's getting better, but that's a challenge still. We still don't have the same opportunities. And I was talking to a friend about this. I really love fashion. And you can see this isn't anything that I'm like revealing.
Mm-hmm.
But if a Black girl does a project that is big,
mm-hmm,
they don't necessarily go straight into being the face of
Fendi or
major brands.
Gucci, yeah.
They're not at Paris Fashion Week.
Right.
You watch another white girl do one season of a show that pops. Right. They're either definitely at the shows, right, which great, you know, and I love fashion, great, but it's just that there's a difference.
But is it getting better for?
I think it's getting better. Like Divine Joy Randolph,
right. She was killing it during the Oscar season.
Her,
my God,
getting that role, and she killed it, has led to her doing big, high fashion moments, and she's at the shows. Mm. That I don't know if 10 years ago, someone like her, because she's not, you know, 6 foot and 90 pounds.
The size,
shaming anybody who is 6 foot and 90 pounds, but like, you just wouldn't probably be invited to those things. So it is getting better.
Her stylist is killing.
It's gorgeous. Life. I mean, she looks amazing.
Ugh.
So that's annoying to watch. It's annoying to watch kind of the gatekeeping there.
But you're going to break through. You're going to break through. It's going to happen.
Thank you.
I cannot wait for
Thank
your
you.
Dior
Thank
campaign.
Thank you.
So I'm just putting it out there in the
Thank
universe.
You. I'm receiving it.
Okay, so everybody talks about how an artist comes to a big city like LA or New York City and lands their first agent.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know about your second agent. The one that's elevated you, you know, your second manager, the one that catapulted
that's
you
really
to,
cool.
How did you get that?
Yeah. The first agent, let's just say, was Chicago,
uh-huh,
right? So I did commercials, got my SAG card. That helped me get the second agent, but my first in LA. And they put me out so I did Bring It On, Fight to the Finish. That was my very first audition here.
That movie is so good. I can't. I loved it.
I'm just so happy that I'm a part of that world because I grew up like everybody. Just
did you do that
one
with Gab?
Yeah,
Gabrielle Dennis.
Gabrielle. There's two Gabbies in there. Gabrielle Dennis and Christina Milian.
Yeah,
and Rodin.
I remember that one.
Suhu and Rachel Brooks.
Yeah,
we're all still really good friends this day. So I got that audition from my second agent, but first in LA, and I booked it. I didn't book many jobs after that, but that helped.
Cement you in LA.
Yeah, that helped. So I think a lot of times it's just the job that you booked. But my second agent in LA, I got because of my second series regular. That particular agent liked the show.
How do you manage your manager? How do you work with your team to make sure that they are getting you the type of auditions you want, getting you, you know, up for the type of roles that you want to be up for?
I would say, first of all, you have to have a team that wants you more than you want them.
Mm.
In my opinion, the only way it's going to work. It's like the only way that it's really going to work, because you need a group of people who genuinely see something in you that makes them work for you. And when all that is vibing, then you don't have to hound. You don't have to wonder as much. You don't have to be kind of like insecure. If, oh, do you guys still, why haven't I gotten out? If you have a team that you know that they really want you, then you can rest in that. And sometimes that takes trial and error. And it's, you know, as actors, I think we're like naturally kind of insecure in a way. Like we're always like, do you still love me? You know, like, does anybody like me? But if you trust your gut and you see that things are happening for you as far as opportunities, and also something you have to do, like whether we like it or not, is you have to be realistic with yourself and where you're at. There are people that get their first agent and then book a big show and that's it. They're going to be famous forever.
Lucky bastards.
Yeah, you know what I mean? There's also people who
lucky bastards
have not booked anything and they need to stay with who they're with until they get something.
Right.
They need, you know, find other things, but keep working on your auditions.
Get some people don't have to go to school for. Some people come out here immediately and just start working.
Yeah. And that's
path is different.
Yeah, everyone's path is different. But I think having a team that you know that they want you more in many ways than you want them. And I don't like having the kind of team that I have to hound. That's my personality. Mm. I don't like sending a bunch of emails reminding people to do things. Mm. That stresses me out.
Have you ever had to fire a team member?
I did. I have. In the beginning. Yeah. And I think you have to be sensitive. And I don't think I handled those things well.
How can you? It's such a...
Yeah, I think a lot of people are better than me at it. But I didn't handle it very well. But for me, letting someone go was always because someone else on my team was very honest about that person's contribution to the team. It's always been a conversation with other people on my team. And they're like, I think it's time for us to shift.
Now, what people really want to know is how we met. So let me tell you guys how we met. we did a movie together called The Sand.
Which I think now in the world it's called Blood Sand.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or at least, yeah, I think it's pretty...
It's becoming a cultish situation.
It's so funny.
Watch it.
Yeah.
But that's how I met you.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I die in the movie.
Okay, can we just talk about rest in peace? I'm sorry. And I think my character cried. I think I was sad when you died.
Yes.
I was. But can we just talk about what the black girl lives?
I know, and that's insane.
Which is...
I want the black girl to live.
Like,
they kept me until the very last moment. They wrote a few extra scenes in, but they said, your black ass must die.
You gotta go. Sorry.
And I said, well, hell.
Only one can survive. They flipped a coin.
But one of us broke the stereotype. And I held on as long as I possibly could in that can.
And we had so much fun shooting that. You are so good on movie. I dare say you're the best. You're my favorite. I'm so serious. I'm not just saying. I feel like I've done this, though. You're really good, and everyone who watches it really loves your character. You're very dynamic in that trash can.
Okay, so off of that, off of me.
Yeah.
Although the show's starring me. But what's your dream role?
My dream role now would be something, something that is different for me. In that I was given a lot of trust to play it. So whether it was, like, just something that's less myself. I want to get to a point where I am able to do things that are that daring. Whether it's horror, whether it's comedy, whether it's TV, whether it's film. Just something bold and daring that scares me.
Right.
That someone else has gone, you could do it. That's my dream.
Oh,
just
perfect.
In general.
Perfect.
You know?
Perfect. And off of that, we're going to go into our next segment. So you guys stay there. We'll be back with The Moment.
The Moment. Oh,
hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Moment. I'm here with Megan Holder again. This is our game segment. I love it. We are playing a like-ish game because they're not paying us and we're not paying them. So
I'm dying.
You know what it is? This is how we do over here at The Moment.
Yes.
First season or volume one, if you will. So
these are my favorite types of games, by the way.
Really?
So can I just thank you? Yeah. You know those games where it takes people 45 minutes to explain?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't ever play a game with that with me.
And I never will.
Please don't. I've sat through escalation sometimes and be like, you've got to be kidding. Where's the fun in this?
Right.
You know what I mean? I didn't bring a notebook or a pen.
Right.
Anyway.
We don't do that at the moment. We get right down to the business of the business. This is a bowl of actions, and this is a bowl of movies. And so you can pick out whichever ones you want.
Okay.
And act it out for me. And if I guess what you're doing, I think it's 10 in a minute and a half.
Okay.
We will donate to your charity.
Okay.
So please tell the viewers what your charity is, or there, whichever camera you want to use.
So my charity is the Assistance League of Los Angeles.
Okay.
And it's been around for a very, very long time. I don't want to misquote the amount of years, but we're talking like decades and decades and decades and decades of time. And it's a charity that benefits homeless or near homeless children.
Oh.
Shoes, supplies. There's a blanket making fundraiser coming up that's currently on my social.
What?
Yeah, it's a really, really great program, and I've gone and read books in their classrooms, and it's a great, great, great program. So that's who I'm complaining for today.
Okay, well, I hope y'all win.
Do I have to go opposite, or can I pick? You like, is pick it more fun if I do like
do whatever you want to do?
Okay.
It's up to you. And start.
Okay, the movies first.
Okay.
Okay. Are you joking? Can I talk? No. Can I pass? I gotta pass. I gotta pass. There's no way. Oh.
Seesaw? Oh, the carnival ride? The carousel?
Yes!
Yes!
Baby! Okay.
Trying on clothes? Shopping for clothes? Wearing clothes? Dressing in clothes.
Okay.
Bagging up clothes.
I don't want to
throw clothes in the bag.
Bad. No. Okay. Oh, okay.
What the hell going on? You're splashing bugs? Do y'all know what she doing?
Okay, forget it. Forget it. These are hard.
God, put the easiest ones in there. Are you flying?
Okay, wait. Hold on a minute. Okay, okay.
You're sewing up a bra. A shirt. You put
you don't stop.
You're putting up. Okay, what's the name of your charity?
Sewing up a bra with why? Who sews up a bra in 1956 with your bustier? What is wrong with you?
What is this? Who sews a bra?
Nobody sews a bra.
But I tell you, I tried as hard as I could. It was your movement. Your hand movement.
I'm gonna tell you right now. No one sews up a bra. Okay. I'm just gonna chair. If you are
well,
sewing
do
up
a
bra,
lot of stuff with bras,
we need a charity
so.
For that. Well, okay, it's okay. A button. It was sewing a button.
All right.
And the first one, by the way.
Okay.
How do you act out Alvin and the Chipmunks? Can someone, how do you act that out?
I would pass.
So that's what I did. Okay, and yes. Then I had Buzz Lightyear.
But what was this? Is this bugs?
Yes.
But why didn't you?
I did. I went boom, boom, bam.
But they're not that big.
Kisses. How am I so? What else
y'all,
did I have to work with? What else did I?
Whose side are you
I guess
on?
I could have done that.
It was slapping the tank.
Because I was thinking of
that was
you
taking me.
I was thinking of
the clock,
Netflix.
The clock.
Oh, the thing! I cannot. That is not what you were doing, and everybody saw it. That was not my fault. But you know what?
Don't
we are generous at the moment.
Don't they do that, though?
I mean, over here, but they don't. But you look like you were squashing a fly that came in the frame.
I've never played Jessica. I just watched the Netflix show.
Queen's Gambit.
Queen's Gambit. That's what I was going off of.
Guys, gals, at home, they, thems. We are very generous at the moment. So we are going to donate anyhow.
Was that that bad?
To the charity.
You're just dirty.
I'm so happy that other people saw this because what?
You feel so bad. You're like, just Don't let her go home.
Not if
shopping
you hand
at the
it.
Mall, by the way. I just want everyone to know shopping at the mall. And you said shopping, but I'm like, how do I do a mall?
True.
So that was.
I could probably weave that together a little bit.
Probably could have. And this
but that was
sewing,
the only one.
This was sewing on a button, by the way, not sewing your bra.
You were like,
sir. Where else?
Okay, so I'm going to let y'all go. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I do have one last question for our guest.
No, I've never sewn a bra. Sorry. Go ahead.
Any advice for any minorities who are trying to break into this industry after pandemic, two strikes, in 2024? What advice would you have someone trying to break in 2025?
As a minority.
As a minority.
Yeah.
Well, I take the minority out. Just put...
I mean, well, because what I was going to say is this feels like a little gaslighty, so I don't mean it like that. But to a certain extent, you have to forget what I say to a certain extent. I literally mean to a certain extent. You have to forget you're a minority and attack this as if you deserve to be in any space.
Absolutely.
At all. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Do you know, like, you have to attack it as if that space is going to open up for you because you deserve it and because you're talented or because you work hard. Or so you have to take the minority out to an extent when it comes to your work ethic because you can't predict, you know, the trends and the this and then like, oh, they're going ethnic, they're going minority. You know, like,
we hear that so much.
You hear
you
all
have
the time.
No idea.
You hear it all the time. And there's so many different layers within that. You know, it's like, what minority? And, you know, so we're all 45 people are going for the one spot. You know,
right.
So it's like, I would say take out that aspect of it as you're attacking your career.
I get that.
Even if reality might say no to that attack, I just don't think it's going to help anybody. To not attack it as if you just deserve to be in every space available.
Yeah.
Because that's confidence, and that's being sure of yourself.
And it opens up more avenues, you know?
It does, it does. Because, like, the bottom line is, even non-minority actors, it's like, you might be too tall, your hair might be the wrong color, the lead female doesn't match how you look.
Or 2 inches taller.
2 inches taller, or they already had an offer out. So it's like, to over, like, think how you look and where you come from and who you are. Don't put yourself down like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Love your skin color. Love your height. Love your hair. Love your eye color.
Yeah, listen.
Love your size. You know, take care of yourself. Like, be the best version of you, whatever that means, like health-wise, mentally, spiritually, physically, all those things. But, like, just love everything about yourself.
Period. And they'll see it.
Period.
And
like, and even if, honestly, even if they don't, because sometimes I feel like they don't. There's a lot of people that may never make it, but that doesn't mean that that person needs to
isn't valuable.
Act right. as if who they are isn't worthy of making it. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
So yeah, just love every bit of yourself.
I love that.
Every single inch.
I absolutely love that. You heard it. You were right here. You were sitting there. You were listening to her say that. So love yourself, okay? Thank you.
Welcome.
We're doing this.
I, of course. Every time I get to hang out with you, I'm excited. I'm just stuck on that you didn't get a button. I'm never forgetting.
Y'all.
I'm sorry. I'm never.
We gonna put you in some Panama classes.
Like, I'm literally
or...
just gonna mail you a bunch of bras to sew, just because apparently that's a thing that people do, so you can do it. I'm gonna send you some bras.
Oh, okay. So thank you, Issa Rae, for your inspiration.
Generally.
Thank you so much. Generally, so many people try to, you know, go up the ladder to try to figure out how to make it, and you've told all of us to look across next
for sure.
to us, and that's
for
what I'm
sure.
doing in this show. So thank you for that inspiration, and this chair is always available for you whenever you would like to come sit in it. All right, girl. So thank you guys for watching
thank
the moment.
Thank you for having me. Seriously,
please
much appreciate it.
Please, please. Volume 2. Hopefully, we'll see you again
yes.
with a big project.
Please,
please, please, please, please. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, my team, for helping. Everybody, Byron, Kaz. Thank you for our audience that we have over here.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. We doing a little something. And again, thank you.
Thank
everybody,
you, Leo.
Enjoy your day. And we'll see you again on The Moment.
This is the moment, moment. Let's be clear. This is your moment, moment. While you're here, this is the moment.